You're now listening to Sound Talent Media. Check out more shows at soundtalentmedia.com.
What is up, Goat Flippers? I am your host, Lurk. Thanks for checking out this week's episode of Lamb Goat's Van Flip Podcast, the number one hardcore and metal-related podcast on all of the internet. Whether this is your first time checking out the show or you're a return listener, if you enjoy the content we're doing here on the Van Flip, please take the time out of your day to go ahead and follow or like us on whatever platform you're currently listening to us on. And if you have a couple extra seconds and you want to leave a rating and review, we would greatly appreciate that as well. Don't forget to visit lambgoat.com for everything hardcore and metal-related. Follow Lambgoat on social media, give us a like on Facebook, and you can find us on Twitter and Instagram at Lambgoat. Head over to the Lambgoat YouTube page, and you can find all of these podcasts in video format, plus other Lambgoat bonus content. While you're there, don't forget to hit the subscribe button and the alert bell so you're always notified when new episodes or content is uploaded. And if you want to follow me, Lurk, the host of the show, you can find me on Twitter and Instagram at Lurk City. That's L-U-R-K-C-I-T-Y.
Oh, yeah, what's this? I feel this. Oh, yeah, this is stuff. Oh no. Lambgoat presents the Van Flip Podcast.
What is up? Welcome back to another episode of the Van Flip Podcast. Or this could be your first time checking out this podcast, so welcome to the show. We have a very special guest today, someone that I've followed for, I don't know, most of the time that I've been quote-unquote, into the scene, Dallas Taylor. You may remember him from a long time ago. He was the original vocalist in a band that's fairly big currently, Under Oath. He left that band to start his own project, Maylene and the Sons of Disaster, and we're just going to, you know, catch up with old Dallas today. So, Dallas, how you doing, man? I know you're in Ocala. We just talked about that. We're not too far off from each other, so you enjoying the Florida? The Florida weather's not as hot this year, I don't think.
Yes, good to be on the podcast. Yeah, it's not that bad, I don't think, as years prior. I guess I've been here for a bit since my accident. So I think a few years back when the one of the hurricanes went through and we had no electricity, I think that seemed to be way hotter that time. And we're not into August yet. So
true. We're only a little bit into the summer. Well, midway into the summer. But, you know, the entire country seems to be very hot, and it's just strange that we're kind of not as hot as the rest of them, and we usually are vice versa. So it's
that is I've been noticing. That's crazy.
Yeah, it's a nice change of pace, I believe. So let's just get right into it, man. A lot of people kind of are curious, you know, as to what you've been up to in the last 5 years. Obviously, you did have the tragic ATV accident in 2016. Which I'm sure most people already know about. And if not, they can Google it or they can look it up on Lambgoat. You know, there's definitely a story or two about it. You kind of had some trials and tribulations going forth from that. I know you kind of got messed up pretty bad. I don't know if you want to get into the details of that, but if you want to, by all means, I'm sure people aren't fully aware. But how you been holding up? I know you're as good as you probably have been in the last couple of years. So it's nice to see that you're kind of, you know, here.
Yeah. So, had a fun, wrestle with a four-wheeler, and, when I first had the accident, like, you're almost in this fight or flight, so I was like, I was really bad, but when I first started coming out of it, I had a severe brain injury, broke every bone in my face, carotid artery, lost one eye, the other eye can't track, don't produce tears, lung damage, all that. So, when I first started coming to it, I was like, you know, and 6 months I'm gonna be back at it. And then about 2 months after, you're still in shock. I mean, my nails didn't grow or my hair didn't grow because my body was using everything to kind of keep it trying to stay alive or heal.
Yeah.
So when reality hit, I just my brain injury has been the main thing that's like, it's crazy because you can't, it's the one injury you can't see. But it's every day, it's like chronic pain, you know, headaches, brain fog and all that. So, but I've been pushing myself more, and I just had an eye surgery, maybe a month ago or a month and a half where I don't produce tears. So they tried to sew the eyelids more shut to make the, and he did a bad job and real bad. Even the other doctors were apologizing. Like, so both my eyes got infected, my lids, and I'm still healing from that. But I've been slowly trying to get back into reality, and I've kind of laid low. But I've had, like, you know, some great friends since the beginning of my accident that have, like, stuck by me. And so I've been working on some creative stuff with one of my some buddies, Brad Lehman, a guy named Steve Savas, Jason Todd, and my friend Cuddy. And so just doing that. And then I also, when I was bad off, my good friend Scott Hansen filmed a movie which is coming out in theaters September 10th called Bad Candy. And it's I got Corey Taylor in it, and my longtime friend Chris Dudley from Under Oath, he scored it. And so, and it's got Zach Galligan from Gremlins and a lot of other friends. So he kind of, when I was bad off, he's like, come up here, I'll figure out how to get, you know. And I was like, not good. So I'm in it for a second. Hopefully I still make the theatrical release. But it's so good to have friends like that, that like have stuck by you. And like, and so after that, he does music videos for all kinds of, so he was down doing a music video, and like, we were brainstorming. So we started, writing and in a pre-production for a script about a girl metal band from the 90s. And so that is called Virginia Bitches, and that's, you can be on the lookout for. And there's actually some really cool people that we already got involved that I think will surprise a lot of people. But how this industry goes, you know, it's like keep throwing to the wall till something sticks. Right. So I hope this is going to stick, but, you know, it's just ways I'm trying to crawl back into reality. And I think with the pandemic happening, how everyone kind of got put back, like, I'm coming back into reality, it feels like, when everybody else is. So I'm like, I'm not that far behind.
Right. So yeah, speaking of the pandemic, because you you know, you also have all these other ailments and such, like, you know, like infections and stuff like that from surgeries and such. Were you like, and I don't want to talk about COVID too much, because as you can probably already tell, we've talked about it. But I want to know, like, because you know, you're someone who does have like prior medical issues. Like, were you really worried about, like, you know, the whole situation with COVID and everything?
At first, and I think everybody was like, just fear, like you thought anything. Right. And then I actually I was, you know, I've been careful, but I have PTSD now, which I always thought that was something for guys in the military, like, right. I never knew. Right. And I always had, I had panic attacks and stuff before my accident. But so when it first happened, I first went out in public, yeah, I was major. But it was weird, because, you know, everyone's not weird, but, you know, everyone's like, this is crazy. It's, and I'm like, this is like just another Tuesday for me. You know, like,
I've been locked up.
You guys are hanging out with me, man, for the past years. Now I know a little bit what it's like. So, I've been, you know, pretty careful, but I don't really think about it, I guess, that much. Cause I also, when you like survived almost dying, it's kind of that, I mean, I'm still careful. I'm not an idiot, you know, but, it's kind of one of those things where it doesn't freak me out as much. And I guess it didn't hit me as hard, because it just felt normal to me to be stuck at home. I was in my bedroom as usual.
Yeah. So. How long were you in the hospital post accident? Like, right after the accident, you were there for a little bit, but how long until, like, you kind of, you know, were able to leave your room and to kind of, like, not even leave the house, but kind of just like move around the house and stuff like that?
So I'm still in that process of, I feel like now I'm like around a 19 or 20 year old in that aspect of thing. But, so I was in the hospital for a month, and I didn't have insurance. So when you don't have insurance, they turn you out quick, even if you're not fit to leave. So I left the hospital the day my trach got taken out. I mean, my trach got, I still had a hole, my feeding tube got taken out, and I still needed to be on oxygen, but I went home without it. And, and my oxygen would only get high of 90. I hadn't had the lung operation or anything yet. So I probably should have been in the hospital. I had the accident beginning of August. I probably should have been in it all the way until the fall. But I came out early, which hospitals are not fun to live in, so I'm thankful for. But and then I was like thinking I could move, you know, but I still was like, I had to learn to walk again right and eat everything. And so then reality hit and my pain got worse. And I had other, just all kinds of other complications. So yeah. Not until really, and I'm still getting better, but maybe the past year and a half or so that I've been able to actually think clear. And the crazy thing, and I've never really, I guess this would be the first time I've even said anything, but I get tired of it. I just quit stuff that they told me I could never be off of. And I was just like, I'd rather find my base level than keep being on. And meds are great when they work, but a lot of times they start doing the opposite over time. So I quit, and I was on, you know, pain meds was the one thing.
Yeah,
and
I was assuming that.
It had changed everything in my body. Like, that's where I had they thought I had thyroid disease. My bowels didn't work even. Like, I couldn't even pee. Like, testosterone and all that. So once I quit that, it's right at a year ago. And the thing with the brain injury is I tried to quit it so many times before, but all the symptoms of withdrawal are the same symptoms I have as a brain injury. Yeah. So all the doctors would be like, no, these are just your symptoms. So when I finally was like, I'm just going to quit, it's like the gift that keeps on giving, like in the movie Christmas Vacation.
Yeah, I was going to say that. Yeah, the Jelly of the Month Club.
yeah, Cousin Eddie. But
good reference, so by the way. Great reference.
Yeah. Great movie. After 2 weeks, the hard withdrawals stopped. But then it was like 2 months of just waking up every day. Like, I felt like I'd been in the accident. Mm. And I just had to stick it out. And now that I'm off of it, I realize what stuff I still have. Like, I still overheat, have headaches, chronic pain, and all that. And I'm learning to deal with it. But going back to the pharmaceutical payments, I don't think, it altered me way too much.
Yeah, no, and I get that. And I commend you for, you know, trying that. Obviously, as we both know, we live in Florida, and so they are definitely a little loose with the pain medication around these parts of the state. So, you know, and that was another question I was going to say, like, you know, with all the medication, with the pain medication preferably, like, were you ever worried about, like, you know, becoming somewhat dependent on that, you know, and just...
Well, I had, like, and I was, and they don't tell you that because, like, I never really...
Yeah.
Why would I they? Taken pain meds a little bit before my accident whenever I needed, but I never... So, and I had a couple of buddies that are like, don't stay on that stuff, but I did need it. I was in such bad pain.
Right.
But, and then they've kind of cracked down really hard on even... So, there was times, it was like every month, I wasn't getting enough meds, and I was having, like, withdrawal symptoms every month. And it was, like, hell on earth. Like, and that's one of the reasons I really kind of wanted to quit because, I mean, there was so many problems. And I must have been on maybe 30 meds a day, 20, wow, 25, wow. Maybe yeah. 30. But, like...
Like 30 pills? Like pills or just different types of pills?
Probably 15 to 20 different medications. Yeah, I mean, I was on nerve medicine.
Crazy.
And they give you all kinds of stuff to, like, basically make you... I was, like, in a pharmaceutical kind of, like, coma. Because they make it where you're not... You know, because with a brain injury, like, your brain's not right at first. Like, it's like you can't think straight. And you have your filters about that much. And I never had much of a filter before, but it's still, you know, so they put you on everything to almost just make you okay just to lay there it started doing the opposite and then it was getting harder to find doctors to help
you're good.
doctors to help me and stuff like that. And I finally just was like, I'm tired of the fear of, the fear of I have to rely on this medicine, and the fear of like, I'm going to not make it if I miss it. If the pharmacy doesn't make it this month,
right?
What could happen to me? Because like a lot of those medicines, they're throwing into seizures,
yeah,
and all that. So I kind of just get tired of it, and I still am out on some neuromeds that help my brain try to slow down, because it's like a ping pong ball, like just getting shot around in my head. Right, so right. I wake up and I feel like I've been on a ride. Like a roller coaster, like I feel like I'm gonna throw up,
all night
headaches,
long, yeah,
and pain. So I've been on stuff to kind of help that, but yeah.
Are you taking more of like, because like you said, you've given up all these pain medications and other medications. Are you kind of approaching it from like a holistic holistic standpoint, whereas you might be doing more natural type medications or like CBD type stuff?
Yes, I actually do. Like so, the neuromeds, I realize I just have to take, right, because, and it's like, they actually give me stuff for Alzheimer's patients, but it fixes in the abnormalities in the brain. And I take some other stuff for headaches, but, like the best doctor, a lot of times, even if anyone's listening to this or watching this, that has had the best doctor we can be is just researching on our own. Cause a lot of times doctors will just keep adding stuff on and don't know your symptoms. So I started looking up everything that can help inflammation. So I take turmeric, black garlic, mm-hmm, saffron, ginseng, algae, spirulina. I started taking, it's kratom, but mm-hmm, it's the one thing that helps my pain, and I don't have to get back on pain meds. And there's been a few times I'm like, oh, I just want to make sure that I don't have anything similar to pain meds. So I've quit at times. And like, if pain meds are like the Ruth's Chris of a withdrawal symptoms, coming off kratom is more like a shitty McDonald's drive through. So it's not, it's not bad, like coming off of it, but it really does. And I try to take as small as possible. So I take a lot of things that help it. So I don't take much, I'm not having to take much of it, mm-hmm, but, otherwise I'm really kind of, and I in Florida, they approved, marijuana. So I have my medical license, but it's such for me, such a hard medicine as that to judge where I don't use it a lot of times. And I try to use more of the higher CBD, right, because when you're taken as a medicine, it sometimes does work. And then sometimes it's like too much. And like, oh, and what, especially with the brain injury, like I didn't plan on being,
now I'm buckled in for a little bit.
Yeah. So, I just try everything, everything natural and everything that won't cause all these, you know, other reactions to my body or other, you know, like a change down the way, you know, like, oh, I'll start messing up this, and then you have to take a medicine for that, and that medicine messes up this. And mm-hmm, so, the natural stuff, and that's, it's crazy that everything we, there's so much stuff in natural that actually works. But we don't realize it. But then I also realized that too much of everything is not a good thing. So like our turmeric was like good for inflammation. So I started making pills because I can't stand the taste of like that and algae.
Yeah,
and like,
of course. Of course.
And I was taking too much turmeric and I couldn't even hardly pee because it slowed that down. So I'm learning like, you know, I'm like basically playing a scientist of like how much, you know, to do like a, with everything. And I think I figured out a good balance, and I make them into capsules because, kratom is not too delicious to taste mixed in with turmeric and, black garlic and, spirulina algae.
I can only imagine. Yeah. Yeah, I was going to ask if you kind of like dabbled with the medical marijuana, because we do have it here in Florida, and I didn't know what your relationship was to that prior to the accident either. So it sounds kind of like you do dabble here and there, you know, with it, obviously the high CBD as well. So I was going to ask, like, you know, it was that your first kind of experience with it, or were you previously, you know, in it?
I had previously taken, but it's funny because everyone always, like my second man, they're always like, man, you guys are like stoners or whatever. Like some of the guys probably were more, I don't, but I never really, it never really was something that like it just made me have more anxiety or whatever. Mm-hmm. And then, so, and it wasn't something that I really cared to, and that's the thing is like, alcohol is legal, and now it's starting to come around, but that is like, it's a medicine. It really is a medicine. And like even our bass player, the bass player in the other band I was in, Nayleen, Brad Lehman, he actually has started he grows CBD seeds, and it's actually, he's made a medicine. It's higher CBD, and does it by hand. I can't think of the name of his company. But it's, yeah, it's, it actually works. Like it's just like, you can put it on like lotions or whatever. And it's, people don't realize that because, you know, it's just the same thing with like how people think, you know, they used to refer to seed or hemp as they would like marijuana. It's not the same kind of, just like poppy seeds and opium. Mm-hmm. But, after my accident, to look at it from a medical side, I do use it sometimes. It's still, you know, like I said, it's a hard medicine to judge, but it really does help at times. It's crazy. The how we look at things, certain things, like as like, oh, that's. And then when you look at, you know, that's bad or
yeah, well, you were told weed and marijuana has been, you know, it's been a drug for the entire time that we've been alive, you know, with the DARE program and everything like that. We were kind of brainwashed to think of it as one way. And like you said, like alcohol is readily available, but it might be, some may say it might be worse than marijuana or weed. And like now it's like flipped. So it's kind of like trying to cast off all those negative stigmas, you know?
Yeah, and that anything in moderation, that's the one thing. But our perception. So I always, you know, make it like when I thought of it as a medicine, even though it was the exact same thing, it was a completely different experience. Like, because I was thinking it as a medicine. Mm-hmm. It's kind of like I always joke, like, you know, if you're to blindfold someone and tell them you were going to take them to Hawaii and you just took them to a part of Florida, they really wouldn't know the difference except the temperature. And yeah, it's like how our minds can like, and I've been, after my accident with the brain injury, I've been so amused of just how the brain, just perception that things can completely change how we view something or even how it works in our body. That's why they do, in most tests, they do the, placebo and the real, because a lot of people can even think, and a lot of people can even make themselves sick off of nothing.
Right. Yeah. With all the worry and stress of just thinking about it. Yeah. Yeah.
So it's kind of like a moderation thing. And when you use it, anything, if you're using it to help you and not, abusing it, I think it's, it can be a great thing.
Yeah. Well, I want to also say like, chances are, the stuff you're getting from the medical dispensary, even though it's still marijuana, it's probably a little more heightened than the stuff that we used to get in the street. So it would be very hard to judge some of that stuff.
Yeah. And I never, before I never, that much. I mean, there's every once in a while to try to, cause I've had OCD and anxiety and like, it would always make it worse. I'm like, that stopped me. But that was all a head thing, because now when I take it as a medicine, it does help my PTSD. And what I found, which there's a lot of stigma about kratom, like, oh, that's just something for people, you know, like, as like an opiate. And it, it yeah. really is a medicine when not abused. I mean, it's the one thing that's helping me not go back on pain meds.
Yeah.
But it is one of those things, like when you get used to even Coke or caffeine, you have to start drinking more of it, and you have to not, because everything you get used to it. So it can be abused if you're just nonstop. But I tend to find that is the best for me as far as helping me not be in miserable pain and be able to function throughout the day when mixed with other stuff. And then, at times I will use the medical, but I found the kratom is the best.
Yeah. I would assume, the medical marijuana would be like a sleep time aid situation, because, they can make them quite well to where they make you pass out pretty quick.
Well, and what's crazy for me is like an indica strain, which would make people pass out. With my brain injury, that makes my brain think normal and actually makes me normal, which is very strange because it's still one of those things where, and it's if I take more than what I should, yeah, then I do. But if I take just, it is a great medicine. And I don't, I'm not one on here to say, oh, it's for, that's why I refer to it as a medicine, because, with anything, I'm not one that supports abusing.
Right. And that could be anything. That's like Coca-Cola, I probably admittedly abused Coca-Cola for many years. And then I kind of realized, I was like, dude, I am addicted to it. I'm just sucking.
Same here,
I'm sucking the can down, not even enjoying the taste of it. I just need the sugar and the caffeine. And then I felt like really, I was like, dang, I'm not in control of that. So I gave it up. Within this year, and I'm now to the point
you probably had some withdrawal symptoms, even off that problem.
Of course, there was headaches and just kind of like all sorts of shit. But I just kind of like, now I can have one or two, and luckily it's not the same kind of like feeling or whatever. It's not like the crackhead feeling of just like getting it into my body. But even then, sometimes it doesn't even taste as good, or like I had remembered it. It's like your brain tricks you a little bit into thinking you crave it and you need it.
And the crazy thing is, so my mom's eye doctor, I think, because she has health issues, he had heard that I quit pain meds cold turkey. And so he wanted to meet me because he's like, you are one tough person with your injuries. And so he was, and he actually, I don't think he even goes to that. He's like higher up at their church or something. I was raised in the whole Bible, all that. And he was like, you need to get your medical card again. Cause I did have, and I stopped. And he's like, and then I've even started using magnets, and they actually pull the you put magnets on the parts of hurt, and they actually work. But, so it's cool to see even older people that would probably have been so against something like that, being the ones that are saying, doctors, like, you need to do this, for your health, or to deal with your pain.
It is very interesting to see how, like, there is a shift with not only just, like you said, marijuana, but just like in treating symptoms in general, like with magnets, whether it be with like, psilocybin mushrooms or for like PSD or Molly for all that, MDMA for all that other stuff. But like, it is cool to be in the time where there is like a mental shift as far as like approaching, I don't want to call it more Eastern styled medicine, but the Western philosophy is kind of dying a little bit.
No, and that is right. Like I knew it was like switching when I was raised like Southern Baptist, super conservative. So when my mom and dad were both like, we should maybe look into that because you're on 15 to 20 pharmaceutical and it just keeps causing more problems. And whatever we can look into that's more natural, because they hated seeing me in that state of just always being in. They'd even have to help me get out of bed. I'd be so bad off. And so for them to even be the ones that are like, hey, we should look in, I was like, yeah, it definitely is changing on how people perceive different things.
Yeah, it is kind of nuts. I think we've kind of probably exacerbated all that. You probably want to talk about the injury and such like that. So let's kind of switch gears and talk about some music stuff. How about that?
Yeah, I have one track thinking. So
no, it's all good. I mean, that's people want to know. So it's all, you know, I just don't want the whole episode to be about everything that went bad. Yeah. So
that's the one that gives from the brain injury is the one track thinking. I just keep going.
And it's not on you,
Dom. And the OCD I still have. I'll just keep on repeating.
It's nothing to do with you. I'm just trying to, you know, pace the podcast out a little bit. But no, I appreciate, you know, you being so open with that because obviously there are probably many other people, not with the same type of injury as you had, obviously, but that are dealing with something like that. So, you know, it's always good to get different opinions. And like you said, we live in like a highly conservative state for the most part. And in one that also is kind of like pretty well known for their like opioid situation and crisis that maybe
that was bad rock dogs. Yeah. It was so horrible.
So, you know, it's good that things are changing. And like you said, like your close-knit family is also changing their views on stuff and whatnot. But so yeah, let's bounce back into music. Earlier when we started, you said you were doing some creative things. You kind of touched base on the movie, you know, the film stuff that you were doing. But are some of the creative things musical as well? Like, are you kind of like, you know, dabbling back into that as part of like your healing or process?
I think
don't let the cat out of the bag or anything, but you know,
I want to, with whatever I do, not necessarily, surprise people, but you know, let people know, like, you know, with whatever I'm doing, I want to do it for such a sincere place that's like, hey, you're not alone with what you're going through. Mm-hmm. And whatever ways of, art or creative outlets I can do that will relate to people I'm working on. And so, that might be one of the things I'm working on for sure. And before my accident, I had gotten wrapped up into the cogs of the major powers that be in the entertainment industry, and had lost all joy and I guess creativity. I kind of just did what I was told, and so now with whatever I do from film or if it may be music, that it will be from a sincere place that's hoped. I want to show people kind of what I've been through in hopes that it will relate to them and what they're going through, because we all, like how my injury you can't really see because it's a brain injury, but we all have injuries that no one can see,
right?
No matter if it be an emotional thing or something. And people really, especially in today's times, want something to feel like, hey, I'm not alone in this. And and that's like, I think that's my main reason that I survived that accident is to kind of be out here to, you know, and I've been kind of quiet lately, but I've been rustling quietly and in hopes to you know, make an impact on my life in a positive way and on other people and give people, you know, hope and joy, and right, as well as myself.
Yeah, I mean, I want to say you specifically are one of those people that probably came up a lot as far as like wanting people on the podcast, you know, like a guest, because there is very little out there outside of the standard update that you may have posted yourself, you know what I mean, on social media and whatnot. But there definitely is, I'm assuming, and I'm pretty sure in my assumption, that there are gobs of people that are interested as to like what your struggle's been like, you know, and, you know, how you've gone from almost rock bottom. I mean, I don't even know how long you were unconscious, if you were conscious after the wreck and everything like that, to where you kind of realized how like messed up you really were. And then, you know, it's been, like you said, it's 5 years since then. And now you're just kind of coming out of the shell kind of, and you know, telling your story, which by all means, I think is very commendable and brave. And, yeah, it's good. It's good that, you know, I reached out to you, and I know it's been, you know, we've had this kind of, touching base with each other for the last couple months.
Yeah.
And I felt like this is the one that I should just let organically happen whenever you're ready. Cause you do have these things going on, and I feel like it's such a vital part of, like, you know, the culture and the scene of certain kind of metalcore and metal music, that your voice kind of be heard and your story be told. So it's great to have you on, honestly. So I thank you, even though I thanked you earlier, but no, it's great.
No. And in the spring, one of the best friends I've ever, my friend Corey Steger, who started Under Oath with me, he was hit in the car and he passed away.
Yeah, I remember you posted that. You and the
that really posted. Hit me hard, but it also, and gosh, his wife and kids I love so much, and it's motivated me more to, like, you know, like, I feel like almost like, you know, him saying, hey, I had to leave early, but you gotta do something to let people know, like, hey, we're all in this together.
Yeah.
So that was a rough, and it's still getting over. And then a good friend of mine, actually a friend I've played music with, got COVID and he almost passed away, and he's just coming out. And so that also was a big, but me and him talk a lot, and he's a drummer I played music with and stuff, Ryan Rafferty. And so that also was a hard time while we were touching base, but it also has been, like, I guess the fire under my ass has been like, you know, you gotta, you know,
get moving.
We're still here. We got to do this, you know, because we think we're going to be alive forever. Well, I don't, but a lot of people do. And we don't realize we're only here for a split second.
Yeah.
I mean, we think about Benjamin Franklin. It's like, it almost sounds like a story. And he was like the rock star of his time. Or if you think about King Tut, or like things from the, like, back in the Bible, it's like, it almost feels like fairy tales. But that really, those people existed. But we think that we don't realize how quick we're here. And
and how long time is, like, those people you're talking about, even Ben Franklin, that sounds so old, so long ago.
But
it's like 100 something years ago, you know, or a little more than that. It's not really that long ago.
and it's crazy how fast we forget. And that was another thing after my accident, where I was like, people only remember you for, like, the legacy you left, which means, like, how you impacted people, or, like, how, what they'll say about you and how you treated your family. And a lot of people just want to, you know, just work, and then they die, and no one ever knows their story. And I feel everyone has a story to tell, but a lot of times we're too afraid. But it's like, we're only here for a second. I mean, like, you should tell it no matter what it is, because that's what we're here for, is like to be in this together. You know, we're not supposed to be to ourselves, or, you know, like, our own, like, thing, you know, or saving up as much, you know. And I used to think everything I thought that mattered, like, doesn't matter, like, when you're having your ass wiped and you're having to eat through a straw because your mouth's worried. Like, you realize, like, all those finances, or the label didn't push this, or I didn't get this role. It's like, you realize, and that's where I'm coming from now with wanting to do art, is like, hey, you're not, you know, I know where you're coming from, even if it's a different thing. And, like, people always tell me too, like, oh, I have this problem, but man, you have it so much worse. And I always say, like, hurt's hurt, or problems are problem. I don't care if it's me in an accident, or someone going through a really bad breakup, or losing their job, or anything. That's still the same thing that causes on the heart. And, like, and we need to talk about it with each other, and, you know, like, therapy, I guess, in a way. And that's why people, I think, love music, is it is a way of therapy for them in different ways.
Yeah, no, I agree. I agree with that 100%, because especially in our little, you know, niche of music, there's a lot of aggression that can be let out that is positive. And then again, like, you know, most of the scene, whether it's hardcore, metal, or metalcore, most, I think the basis of that is, you know, togetherness and camaraderie and we're all one and all that stuff. So, I mean, that's what kind of attracted me to it all when I found it.
Same here.
Yeah. Because it was something different and it wasn't not saying that other genres don't have that, but it was way more prevalent at the time when I got into it.
That's why I was drawn to it, is it felt like, holy crap, these guys are, like, I felt like a family, like, and it felt like, oh, they know what I'm about. And, like, back in the days, like, I'd see someone else with a shirt on, like, a certain hardcore shirt or metal shirt, and I'd be like, that guy. It's, like, almost like a friend right from the start.
Right, right, yeah. You have, like, a connection, you know, a similar interest, and you understand already that that niche is so small in general that if you see someone in the wild, it's like, oh, hey, I know you. Yeah, I know. I get it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's like, hey, can you give me, for some reason, my phone didn't charge and I have like 5%. I just got to plug it in real quick.
No problem. Take your time. Yeah, go ahead.
That'll show my good eye injury or my brain injury. You're like, oh, no, I'm almost back there. 2 seconds.
Nope. Take your
time. Sorry about that.
No, you're all good.
Good job. That's my dipshit self. People can see the reality. I can't.
No, no, yeah, well, you know, we all keep it live and keep it real around here. Plus, you know.
No, that's awesome.
You can still hear me, so it's not like we're, you know, you're just off camera for a little bit. But this also goes audio, so the people who listen won't even know, you know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah, I'm not doing anything. I'm just taking a sip of water.
So let's talk about Maylene a little bit here. You know, during the time of your accident and all that stuff, you guys were kind of in the midst of recording, I would assume, number 5, because, you know, Maylene has 2, 3, 4, and I would assume the 5th record was going to be 5. How far along in that process did you guys get, and, like, what do you plan to do with any of that material?
Sorry, another pause. Sorry about that, guys.
All good,
drinking
man.
Water. If you're not seeing me. So after the last record we put out, it was, gosh, it was, and, you know, like, I don't ever talk bad on anything because, like, you know, I'm one of those guys, like, even if I get in an argument, I had to let someone get me mad enough. So it's not always someone else's fault. But I felt so, I'd been through a divorce and all this, and I was in a down place. And so I just was like trying to provide, I guess, in a way. And so the last record we did, I kind of, became, I did what I was told kind of thing, you know, like, if you make it more, we're not going to kind of put it out or push it if you don't make it more, marketable or whatever.
And are we talking about number? Are we talking about number 4? Okay, just making sure.
Yeah,
go ahead.
And I kind of went along with that out of fear, and you know, I didn't have any the creative side of and there is still some, like, that record is the most showing my heart lyrically, and I kind of got it out in that way. But a lot of it was I was just trying to please other powers that be, I guess. And so after that record, we kind of, like, didn't want to be on. So we kind of made it kind of where we could, I don't know if we stopped trying, I forget. Cause a lot of my accent, I forget before the injury, which is a good thing. a lot of that's gone, but, like, I don't remember playing shows at all. Which is crazy. Like
in general, or just like right before the accident?
In general.
So, like, even under oath, you don't remember under oath? Wow.
No, but I'll remember stupid things, like, you know, I'll be like, oh, back in the days, I poured water on that guy's head in the van. That was funny. My friend lives here, John, like, I was telling him.
Interesting.
I remember weird things, but not shows, but
that's crazy.
And so I don't remember a lot, but after we stopped, some other things that happened that it really just made us kind of upset. Like, we were like, it's almost like we were even bringing work to the label. Like, the, like, you know, like, one thing was like a segment and, you know, just in a commercial somewhere, but it didn't happen. It was too long getting back. And, like, and it's a major, you know, we were on the Division of Warner. So it's a major, the tons of people involved, and they kind of go through employees pretty often. No offense to Warner or anything, but that's just how it goes. And so we kind of stopped touring for a while because we're like, we just want to somehow be, we want out of this horrible cycle. And then we started, like, even when our record came out 2 weeks before it, our A&R quit or get fired. And so we had a new person coming on board that didn't know anything about us. And so we had, it was just, so we finally were able to part ways. And we did a few tours after that. And it just was like I had almost started doing, I felt like I was doing music as a job that I didn't enjoy, and I'd lost all of it, you know, and that's when I was in a, I was in a really bad place before my accident, just really depressed. And my accident, as weird as it sounds, was a blessing.
Yeah. Kind of like woke you up a little bit, huh?
Changed my whole life. But like, so we had started working on, we did a tour in Canada. We, the last tour we did, it was Canada down to the US, but we didn't have snow tires. I had a, the trailer we had, no brakes or anything. And like, so we wrecked in Canada on like black ice. And the whole tour just was like, just other problems. So in the tour, me and our bass player, like, this is kind of like, this is, you know, this is not fun.
Not what we want to, what, not what we want to be doing.
And then I somehow decided to start, and some other things have came where people are asking me to take little roles here and there. So I started getting acting, which if you're down in life, that's probably not the smartest venture to take when you're in front of casting directors. I'm like, oh, you suck. No, they don't tell you that, but they
No, yeah,
that
it's stressful.
Eye,
it's stressful. Yeah, the audition process
so
is not ideal.
You get told no more than yes. And so that wasn't good. So we had started working on some stuff, but kind of just like, let it by the side. And then my accident happened, and we talked about messing around, and then everything happened worse. And then not too long ago, I just felt the need to start maybe trying to make art. I really don't know where that what it will be or
where it'll take you, you know.
I think it'll be exciting for people, no matter what it is, if it is music or if it's a, or if it's film. But I have a love for life again, and it's like people I talk. I've heard a long time ago. I heard this band I used to love called Artemis Piledriver, and they're older guys, but we used to play with them, and. And this was a mailing was first started, and he was like, you know, heavy metal is a young man's game. And I was like, I don't even know what he's talking about. And then I realized, like, if you're super established, then it keeps going. But as for a lot of bands,
it's rough.
You start getting older, and then you've probably seen it a lot in Lamb Goat class, but they probably have talked, because I love that about you guys are unfiltered. So you probably have talked trash on many of bands that, like, these stupid sellouts have made a freaking horrible rock radio record.
Right.
And it's almost every time it's guys get scared and they're getting a little older and now they have bills. They don't, they're not in their parents' basement or wherever, you know, and it's like, and they kind of do whatever they're told and they lose all hope. And it's the bands that kind of just stick with it and go, we don't care. They seem to make it through it. After my accident, it was like, I feel like I'm like 16 years old again, wanting to do stuff. Like I have that excitement. And like, even, you know, my other friends and stuff, they're always like, you know, they almost look at me sometimes like, man, you're a little too carried away. Cause I'm a very huge imagination. So they're like, I think your imagination's a little out of, let's try to bring it more to reality. But I have that like kid, like, and it is that when we're younger, we have that just
no
not
words,
afraid,
yeah.
and we can do anything. And then when we get older, we start thinking more
More responsibilities, and, more all this, more stress, and, you know, it's tougher to do things, which is weird that you bring that up, too, and I don't mean to interrupt you, but, like, my thing is...
Oh, no, no.
My thing with Lamb Goat that I'm trying to kind of, like, do in general is, like, how do we introduce younger people to heavier music that's not... not and, again, I'm not trying to, like, say, like, bands that maybe produce a more, like, rock-styled record or whatnot, you know, I understand it. And, like, there's other bands that, like, I can understand, like, even if we want to go as far as, say, like, big rock bands like Five Finger Death Punch or one of those big headliner type bands. It's not it's not my vibe one bit, but I also understand that, like, maybe someone finds Five Finger Death Punch and then goes to a show, you know, and one of the opening bands is someone that's more aligned with what we enjoy. Yeah, yeah. And then, again, that's... Yeah. That's a big kind of scene band, but then you can get a little bit more under the crust, and then from there you go a little bit more under the crust, and then, like, you fall down the hole and you get really into the underground. And my whole thing is, like, how do we speed that process up and, like, you know, get around the whole having to listen to those bigger bands or radio rock bands or whatnot. But it is also interesting at this particular point in the scene and the how long it's been around since, you know, late 80s, early 90s, whereas now, like, bands that are coming out that are people in their late teens, early 20s, they grew up with their parents listening to bands like Slipknot. So their take on their take on heavy music is completely different than what we had, you know? So it's interesting to see the dichotomy of, like, how that works out.
Yeah, and it's also, like, it's also for the older bands not getting where, like, they're, like, sound like old grumpy, like, oh, new bands can't, you know, they right. can't do it, like, you know what I'm saying, like, it's already been done before. And it's like, because there's a lot of new, I mean, they're in every genre, there's bands that just do the same thing, and it just sounds, but there always is just great new stuff that I hear, and I'm like, holy crap, that's really good. And it's the cool thing is with the internet, I used to hate the internet, and I still have my battle with it, because it took away, you know, album sales. Like, sure, back when I would go, you have to go to a show and there'd be a distro and you'd buy your fingers through, you know, and try to find whatever new record was, you know. And nowadays, it can kind of catch on like wildfire. And that's kind of cool that it's surpassed a lot of those major labels are not being able to do your own thing. With that, you also have a lot of just flooding of just everyone's...
Right.
Everyone's a photographer. Everyone's a director. Everyone's an actor. Everyone's a model.
Everything, yeah.
Everyone's a musician. Every, yeah, and it's like... But you still do find the cream, you know, you still find the... And I'm big into that where I'm like, if I don't make it because my stuff's not good enough, that's good. I just want the best. Just, you know, like, and I'm even for that of... you know, still letting the best will always come out.
Right, yeah. Like you said, cream will rise to the crop or the top. I was going to ask you. So what was the, when you kind of left Under Oath and you started Maylene? Oh, no, not, let me jump back. Let me jump back. Because you were talking about your issues with, like, Warner Brothers music and such like that and having to do what you were told kind of situation. Was any of that, because you guys were on Ferret for a while, did you experience any of that with Ferret?
Love those guys. And, Ferret got bought out by Warner, and I love Carl. I haven't talked to him forever, but I think, Carl was in the band Nora, I think.
Yep.
I can't think of the guys, but they were all great guys that were just old, like, scene guys, you know, like, not old, they're just scene guys, and, like, so it did feel like a family. And then kind of like Ferret started picking up, so they got the offer, and it kind of ended that fun kind of, let's just creative, you know, like when you're working with, like, back in the Ferret days, they're just like, yeah, it's awesome, let's go with that, it's cool, you know. And then it's, you're like, you know, like on the last record, one of the songs that we didn't want to be on the record content, but one of his B side ended up being our single. Mm. And, that was not our choice. And so it's kind of like we lost a lot of the creative, side where I do love the old, like, and there's still labels out there like that, that I'm, you know, fans of, then even bigger ones, you know,
right.
Epitaph, Fearless, Fueled by Ramen, like there's different, you know, and, I don't know if Equal Vision is still around, but,
I think they are.
I'm so out of it.
I would I'm say so out of this. I think they
but
are.
It's
we'll
still
go with
cool.
that.
But it's still cool that there's like, and there's probably a million other ones, but those are ones I've always seen that their artists still seem to do the creative side. And I really think that's an amazing thing.
Yeah. Ferret was definitely, there was two major ones for me in my journey through this kind of music was Trustkill and Ferret were like,
I was going to say
two
that.
Big ones. Yeah. And it's, it
I was
kinda,
about to say Trustkill. Yeah.
It does kind of suck that, you know, they got too big, kind of, and then they got both kind of like got bought out in some weird way and then kind of killed, you know what I mean? Just kind of killed everything that the label had built. And it was, it's kind of a bummer. It definitely was, you know?
Yeah. And it's the same kind of thing where like bands try to start making late, you know, songs to hopefully put money on the table. Unless you're an established band that you can still kind of, and then some bands stick with it. But I think thing with Ferret might have been like, here's money and I can take care of my family or whatever, and they thought they even thought they still were gonna have creative, and I think it was just
bamboozled,
kind of,
yeah,
came in. Yeah. And it's even like that with the film, since I'm getting a little bit like, I love the A24 film company, like everything they put out is just like, it's, you know, it's going to be like its own thing. And like, so I think that's cool too. With even, there's still some companies out here that are like doing, they're like, we don't care what other people say, we're going to do our own little
thing on it. It kind of takes back to what you said, like with bands that just kind of stick with what they do. You know what I mean? Like people or companies or brands or whatever that just kind of like don't bend to that narrative of like trying to be the most popular thing or to be the most clicked thing that day or whatnot. Like there are so many bands that I grew up listening to that are still around that I don't think will have the, like, I don't think bands starting out now that are like, you know, 5 years old or something like that will be able to stay around because they are playing that game where they're trying to write certain things for certain markets and such like that.
Yeah.
But you got bands like, you know, Every Time I Die, it seems like that band itself has been the same band almost the entire time.
Yeah.
They're unapologetically them, and it's worked in their favor, like, to no
I
end.
Love those guys too. Yeah. Lamb of God, good guy, you know. Randy's an awesome guy, so stuck with it, you know. And then there's other bands, you know, like Flogging Molly and different genres, but it's like, it's awesome because they are Clutch. We've used to tour with a lot, like they kind of just stuck with that's who they are, and they have their cult fan base because they know they're not gonna and I applaud bands like that, and I wish I would have kind of, well, and I don't really wish, because I believe everything I'm wearing now, where I think everything happens for a reason, even my accident, and it always makes sense in the end. Mm-hmm. So I think even for me having that kind of record, even though I was more open lyrically, I think it's, and my accent is making me into whoever I am and whatever I'm gonna do coming up, where it's like, oh, that's it, makes all sense now, you know?
I don't know if we answered the other question prior, I might have gotten distracted myself too as well, but how far along in the process for the fifth record were you guys in, like how far along beforehand?
We kind of had given we did some a few demos here and there, but it was like pretty, and that was even me. I had started thinking, okay, I'm going to try to get into acting or whatever.
Right,
and
right.
That last tour put such a bad, I guess, taste in my mouth. And I wasn't in a good place anyways. Mentally, I was like I thought everything that mattered that was bringing me down, which I know now doesn't matter.
Right.
I let it tell me who I was. And I'm big on that now, like how we let things, our people, tell us who we are. and that's not really us, from negative. And I'm, the power of words is crazy, or just the power of putting things on people, or we put on ourselves. And like, so I'm big on, you know, not letting negative things tell us who we are. Cause that's why I think we had not pursued much of the fifth record, is because I was like, well, that record, I lost my creative, not all of it, but some of
your lust for it. You know, you weren't attracted to it.
And yeah. And then I was like, you know, and I've always struggled with, I think everything I do is a piece of shit. So it's like, you know, I was like, well, now I really see, you know, and it's like, and that's just something I have a lot of friends that are in this, that struggle with the same thing. They're just, it's almost like they don't want to be rock stars or huge things. So they do the opposite and just bash themselves nonstop. Right.
It's like that imposter and that's syndrome stuff.
And so that's what I was doing. And so I was just like, you know, we didn't get far, I don't think, because it was just like, oh, it's just going to suck anyway. This shit's bad. You know, whatever.
Interesting. And interesting.
Then, yeah.
How did you guys, like, where did the, this is going to be a two-part question, and we may have to, whatever, I may have to ask you the second part later on, but like, how did you get in to, from being from Ocala, and it is quite rural, how did you guys get into like that kind of music? Cause like, not only did you guys, Maylene, come from there, but like Under Oath started there. And then A Day to Remember also kind of started around there too. Yeah.
Wage War.
Yeah.
And again, Wage War. Buddy Seth last night. Yeah.
So yeah. I mean, like how did that scene even pop up, you know, down there in that area?
I very randomly, like, I never really heard it. I mean, out here, I didn't even know anything of it. And I think I was at some kind of, like, I don't know, like, growing up, like, you know, the only thing to do out here is pretty much, like, go to, like, we live next to a church. So it was like, right. I think I went to some youth event, and that was a guy that, and I met some skater kids, and, like, they started letting me hear hardcore. I was like, this stuff exists. And then I just got obsessed with it. And so I started playing bass, like, in an alternative band. And one day at a show, well, one of the guys I met that lived up here, he was into hardcore. And so we just talked about it. And then one day at a show, I was sitting, it was my other band playing. I looked over and the guy had like a other hardcore shirt on. And it was Corey, my friend that just passed away. Mm-hmm. And I was like, I'm trying to start a band. He's like, oh, me too. So we just started a band, and I started booking shows in Ocala, which is crazy, but people started coming out. And and my friend Donald from here, he still is keeping that going. I love that dude so much. He's kept that going. But it was just kind of like, and it wasn't an easy start. I mean, we were like, no one got it really.
I can understand that.
I grew up in high school in Williston, so it's middle of nowhere. And so I was the only skater kid there, and like there was a kid in my guitar class, and I started letting him hear heavy music, and it's Chris Dudley that plays keys for him.
Nice.
And it just kind of happened. Then I started booking, like, I brought Shilude into Ocala, and then I brought this band called Extolan Blindside one time, like back in the day.
Yeah.
And then we would just start branching out, and then it kind of happened, like where the A Day to Remember guys were coming to shows, and it kind of just, I don't know how, but it kind of caught on in the middle of nowhere.
Yeah. For those who aren't really up to date with, like,
horse capital.
Yeah. Geographically with Florida. Cause people have the assumption of Florida, obviously, like palm trees and beaches and stuff, but like
not the central.
The central part of the Florida is definitely agricultural. Like, it's heavy, heavy agricultural.
I lived in Alabama when I was in Maylene, and my mom and dad are way more country than, like, gosh, I should get her in the same word, because you guys would be like, is that even English?
Yeah.
But like, so it's like super country, a lot of like just like blue collar, you know, like It's not, there's not much going on in the central part, but I love that because I think there is a almost like a want for something more. And I think that's kind of where heavy, it was just like there was nothing. And you hear that story with a lot, even like with the black metal bands, the metal bands that started over in, you know, Norway or wherever in the middle of nowhere, because it's like there was nothing really going on, and that was what they clinged to, and people would come out. And I think that's kind of where Ocala came from, because there was nothing else to do.
Yeah, it was like the only alternative lifestyle kind of situation going on outside of, like, you know, tending to the farm animals, riding your horse from point A to point B. Because I mean, I've driven by there, I've gone through Ocala, I've been to Ocala a bunch of my entire life. And it is just like, even to me, because I live on the East Coast, so there's a beach next to me, and I lived in Tampa on the Gulf Coast, and, you know, there was a beach there. And when you go to the major cities in Florida, like Miami and South Florida, and even even Tallahassee's not as – the Panhandle isn't even as rural or country as Central Florida. And it is really eye-opening when you go out there.
And Ocala's picking up a little bit more. It's kind of crazy to see, but it is it's kind of like behind the times of like,
oh yeah,
many years.
Do you remember, because when you're talking about booking shows and stuff like that back in the day, I also booked my own band shows and stuff like that. So Ocala was one of the cities, just because, and again, this was before we even knew what all was out there, but Ocala was one that we always look at. And then Lakeland too. Lakeland Shows was a website that hits, like, it popped up in my head when you started talking about all this. And I remember going to this website, Lakeland Shows, and I was thinking, like, damn, that is that's also a small rural area to have shows.
And that's like a trash area too, no offense, but it feels like you're like, because that's the one thing also about Florida is a lot of people, I think, came here on vacation and never left and just stayed out in the sun and got leather. And that's where you have the Florida man thing.
Florida man, yeah.
So you get some characters out there. And Lakeland's one of those towns where you get some crazy guys that I think and women that have just kind of stayed out in the sun to beg for a lot of years.
Yeah, they've got the they're the ones carrying the pet alligators around with them.
Yes, yeah, it's funny to hear all the stories. And that's the thing about Florida is, like, it really is one of the people always say, how is that connected to America? But it really is. And as far as beauty, though, like all the rivers, and there's so, it's crazy, you know, like. Even on, they filmed on the Silver Springs, they filmed like Tarzan, Creature from the Black Lagoon and stuff, but you can still go down the river and monkeys got out from when they did Tarzan. So there's monkeys and there's alligators on the side of the river. You're going down it and you think, you're like, am I still on, is this America? This
am I on the
crazy.
Amazon or something? Yeah. You know, if Florida had like mountains, I would never leave. You know what I mean? Because I think it would be all the scenery that you need, you know, like you have like the elevation with the mountains, you got the beach, you got like, and again, Florida's thick with brush in the middle there. There is so many, you know, so much plant life and such like that. But like you said, it is a crazier part of the world, a part of the country for sure. But I wouldn't personally give it up for anything. You know what I mean? I'm a first generation Floridian. My family's not from here, but like we talked before the podcast, your family is like embedded down there.
Yeah, like
so like
fifth or sixth
your family's been there for a long time, but like I would never, I don't know if I'll ever move, you know what I mean? And if I do move, I'll come back for sure, because it is like nowhere else in the country. And I know we get a lot of bad stigmas, but like, screw everybody else.
I think it's hilarious. I love it.
It's not just Disney World. I would say like Orlando is not Florida, because that's like the tourist spot, and obviously like a lot of people just come and visit there. So I don't necessarily I don't really know how many people are born and raised technically in Orlando,
especially in Miami. Yeah. I didn't know it's one of the most tourist places in America. More, I think it's the second one. I would go down there for my eye operations, and it is so many just people that come there just to see my, and I never even realized that. Yeah. Like, but yeah, like the coast, especially down south, like a lot of it, it's a lot of like people from up north come, and nothing, and other people from up north. So I'm not saying, but it, you know, and then Ocala has a lot of that, like right outside, you have the Villages, which is that crazy retirement that has all the STDs because the people throw their keys in and have sex parties. So,
Google, after listening to the podcast, just Google the Village in Florida, and that's a wild story.
It's a place to go when you're older if you want to catch some STDs.
Yeah, they don't care down there. No, but to piggyback off of what you said about people coming down here and moving and stuff like that, or on vacation, I would assume probably a good chunk of those Florida man stories are just people that come down here and have a little too much fun, and then they end up getting into trouble, you know?
Panama City Beach, never left.
Yeah, I know. Man, Daytona. Daytona's wild, too. So obviously, you left under oath. You know, that was more of like a tech death metal situation for the you know, way back when. And I can understand how the death metal vibe creeps in there, because obviously Tampa is a hotbed for all that kind of stuff back in the 80s, 90s. But it's interesting.
And Orlando death obituary.
For sure, we've established that death metal has a place here in Florida for sure, no matter what anyone says. But when you guys released your first Maylene record, I can remember the song Tough as John Jacobs was, I believe, the first single. And I had never heard anything like that. And being a Floridian, obviously, you know, you do grow up listening to a lot of Southern rock. Lynyrd Skynyrd's from where I'm at, you know, and it was just like, holy shit, this is like a blend of like everything that I like about hardcore and metalcore, but it gives me a little bit of that twang to like really hold on to my Southern roots. And I won't say that I enjoyed it right off the bat. When I first heard it, I was like, what is
this?
I
don't think I did either.
when I heard that song, I was like, what is this? And like, is this for real? You know what I mean? Because I had never heard anything somewhat like that.
Yeah.
But the more I listened to it, I was like, damn. And now, even to this day, it's one of my favorite Maylene songs. So it's a cool blend. And then, of course, you know, you guys have expanded on that as the records, you know, have progressed and you guys found your sound and whatnot. But that first record, man, that is some, you know, you're experimenting and trying some new shit, and it just kind of works, man.
It started out really as a kind of, I never thought I'd do, I didn't plan to do music after Under Oath, and I moved up there and I knew a few of the guys, and we just started, it was kind of a joke, and it was just fun.
I could see that, to be honest with you.
And then we were thinking of a name, and I was like, I remember going to the Mall Barker reenactments, where she was killed off. I mean, her story's crazy. You can look that up later on if anybody. But so we were thinking of band names. So I was like, oh, Maylene and Sons of Disaster. That'd be, be crazy. And then we first started, like, John Jacobs, when I was younger, he was a guy that led this thing called the Power Team. And they would come out and they would rip up, like, phone books in half for God. And so, like, or, like, roll a frying pan up. And so I thought that was just, I mean, I love the dude, but I thought that was hilarious, you know, like, just that kind of. So we kind of embraced all the stuff from our childhood. And then the other guys that had grown up, you know, in Alabama, and the thing sticks up there. So, and we started out as, like, just having fun. And it kind of just took off without us even. I mean, we used to just drink sweet tea on, not as like a gimmick, but that's just like, you know. And then we got stupid where we would start pouring like brute aftershave on people just to make it like real, like have that real track. That was more of a comedy. But then, like, it just started taking off, and then it became serious. I mean, it was always fun. It was just, I just wanted to do something that was fun and different. And then it was funny because when it started, everybody was like, that is totally you. Like, in Under Oath, you were trying to be not you. I mean, I was still being, but they're like, you were trying to, like, not lose your accent. They're like, that's the idiot that I've always been. You know, the kid.
Yeah.
I forget who it was, but someone was like, yeah, I remember the first time I met you, you were riding up on a dirt bike, you know, in the dirt. And so they're like, this band is exactly. And then at first people were like, oh, they're not really Southern. It's like, I grew up on a dirt road till I was 10 years old. Same house still, but now it's all nice because all the horse, it's now become the world. They put the World Equestrian Center in a few miles down the road and another huge one. But so it's building up, but it's still out here. You know, I grew up shooting shotguns. And,
I mean, the video for the song, it also just paints it so well. You know what I mean? Because like, yeah. I can see that going down on just like a week night, or like not a week night, but a weekend or a Friday night. Like, that is what I would picture you guys doing in Central Florida or something like that. Like hooting and hollering in the fucking barn and stuff.
And Alabama was the same kind of guys all singing out with. It was the same kind of deal. Just some dudes that were just, and so it kind of, that video was based on, and it's, the cool thing about the video is there's a lot of guys that went on to be, another, like my buddy Josh that now plays in As Lay Dying, and my buddy Jamie that played it. I can't think of it, but it was cool to see like them and then they go on, so Alabama also felt like it was a really tight-knit, like almost family kind of thing.
Oh, for sure. Let me wrap it up a little bit here. But I wanted to ask, is there a theme through the first three records? Like, because you do have kind of like these spoken word parts in some of these songs. And I could be, and again, correct me if I'm wrong, but it kind of made it sound like it was kind of like a Bonnie and Clyde kind of spoken word thing where it sounded like bank robbers or something like that. And then it kind of made me think, like, is there a storyline that goes along with the records, or do you just have like an overlaying theme for every couple songs? Another one of my favorite bands, He Is Legend, which I know you guys are pretty close with, Skylar and stuff. Yeah. He's got this kind of like story that every now and then he'll throw into a song. You know, and I just was curious if Maylene has some kind of like some situation like that.
So, and it ended up working out not to our disadvantage, but like because we were such based on like the story that later on we wanted to branch out. I was like, well, we, you know, didn't want to. And then when we thought we'll branch out a little bit, we branched out to the opposite of what fans were on the last record. So it's like, we branched out the wrong, even though I kept some of the lyrics. But so Moll Barker was in the early 1930s. Her and her family, they were basically Bonnie and Clyde. They went around robbing people, stealing, killing people. Well, they were hiding out up the road here, like in Lake Weir. Right by Ocala, and somehow they got found out, and there was a big shootout, and her youngest son got killed. And so when I was a kid, I'd always go to the reenactments, and I always thought that was crazy, eating, you know, candy apple and watching them shoot up, you know. And then in real life, every one of her sons were shot and killed at different points of life, like one trying to escape Alcatraz. So when we started this band, we're like, it's kind of crazy of like divine justice of like, if you live a life of just horrible, it'll come back around, you know, like some people karma or whatever, you know, like, so we started out with that, kind of like telling their story, but almost like, I always like to sometimes to, give hope to the, not, you know, but you sometimes paint the villain like in a way that we're like, you feel
humanize them. Yeah.
Yeah. And so that's kind of where a lot of the themes came from of these sons that have like, part of it was like, hey, don't do what we did, or, you know, don't take the path. And then other ways they're like, you know, kind of like the infamous thing, like, you know, we always know we'd make it in the paper, you know, we would be home one day. And it's like, and to show like the bad side. And then it, later on, it kind of got hard because we're like, man, we should branch out a little bit. And we're like, well, we've kind of really pigeonholed ourselves. And then our way of not pigeonhole, I thought, oh, we'll make a complete. Yeah, that last record was not the. That was the other powers to be, but and then there's still some great songs on that record. And I love it. I'm not. You know, like I said, you know, like if someone makes me mad, I can't say, oh, you made me mad. I decided to get mad, so I made that record.
Right.
And I look back, you know, with all things in life, something like, I wish I would have done some things differently. But, it was kind of by telling the story of through this family and kind of making it more personal, like the struggle they've gone through. And
interesting.
Any new stuff I do in the future, I want to make it more personal of like, this is just literally what I've been through. And, you know,
you have your own story.
And
now.
You might not want to even, I like to show things that people don't want to see. You know, like people always want to show the upside, but you know, I want to show the shit that people are like, man, I really didn't. Maybe that's a little too deep, you know, or that didn't. I don't feel comfortable with that. You know? I'm just like, because we're afraid to talk about our insecurities or our problems. Mm-hmm. That's why Instagram is such a huge thing, because people paint, and I love Instagram, but they paint a false narrative sometimes. Right. And I like showing just the freaking muck.
Yeah. Know? Well, when you start getting in the awkward places, that's where kind of growth happens. So, you know, some people don't like to grow, and so they avoid those kind of awkward situations or uncomfortable things, you know, whether it's with somebody or themselves. Yeah, but I feel like I live for those kind of weird moments, unfortunately.
That, dude, we should hang out then, because I am the most awkward. I do it now on purpose.
Oh, yeah, yeah, okay.
Because I've learned that if you say something so straight and it's the most off thing, people's brains can't compute it. It really.
No, I know.
So, like, one time at the hospital, ladies, like, any medicines you're not taking? And I was like, yes, methamphetamine. You know that we needed to look, and I was like, yes, methamphetamine. For 5 minutes, she stayed looking because I was so serious. And I was like, man, that's meth I don't take. And she's like, gosh. You know, I'm like, or one time all my doctors, and no offense to, like, I love everyone, so no offense to any of, you know, people that are gay or anything like that, nothing like that at all. But my doctor was checking me out, and I had a bunch of blood work done, and it was all these nurses. And I was like, I used to stutter a lot after accidents, so I kind of stuttered a little bit more, but I was like, did my blood work show if I was homosexual? And she goes, what was that? And like, they all looked stunned. And then I said it again. I was like, was my blood work able, could you find out if I was homosexual? And they still just all stayed there, and it was so awkward. I mean, it was not comfortable. And I finally was like, I'm just messing with y'all. And they're like, just get out of here, please. Like, so I've learned, like, if you say things so serious, people can't, even if it's a joke, they just can't compute it, and they don't, like, their brains, like, it's a deer in headlights.
Yeah.
So I love awkward now. So that anything I do will have that awkward tendencies with it.
Oh, I hope any kind of, you know, scripts you guys write, you explore all those awkward moments too. Cause that,
oh, for sure.
That's good for a comedy and stuff like that. Well, let's kind of wrap it up, Dallas. You said something earlier where you kind of seems like you pay attention to music coming out. So what are some bands that you might have like found in this past couple of years that you've really become fans of?
Real fast, so when I was in the bed, nothing to do, I just would stay looking at everything, like almost like pop culture, everything. Right. So I found a lot of stuff that maybe, I don't know as much heavy stuff recently. There's an artist named Lorne, which is more like electronic and like stuff. I've been like into, I drew a blank. I listen to like every type of thing. I'm trying to think. I go back from newer to old, but newer artists. I drew a blank.
No, it's all good. When I ask this question, a lot of people are like, "Oh, yeah, newer bands," and they can't. So you're not the only person that has ever had trouble answering this question. So by all means,
because I listen to, like, from like. A group called Daughter. So I even listen to like Blackpink, you know, K-pop.
Interesting.
And a lot of times the heavy stuff, I'll always go back. What was this band? I can't even think of the name. Gosh, me and Chris always talk about them. I can't even think of the name right now. But a lot of heavy stuff, I always go back and listen to the older stuff, but I love newer. There's a band from Florida I heard recently, and I can't think of the name of them. They're like Below Jacksonville, but they're really good. Mental something, I can't think.
I'm trying to think myself here. I don't know.
Mental, I can't even think. Yeah, I like pretty much anything, as long as it's, you know, I can
enjoy,
you know, get into it. Yeah. But every style, and I even like just really out there stuff. there's an artist named, I think, Arca, and he's Portuguese, I think, and it's very,
interesting. It's interesting how things. You know, you've kind of tapped into the world outside of that rural area of the country you live in. You know what I mean? You have interests that don't necessarily coincide with like coming from there, you know?
Yeah. My brother, he's older, but he listens to everything. So I'm always hearing all kinds of new stuff that I'm like, holy crap. You know, like how did you even find this?
Don't even stress it at this point. Don't even worry about it, man. But
they rap and they're rap. It'll come to me later.
The second we get off here, it'll pop in there. Yeah,
I'll be going to bed. I'm like, dang, that's it. Blah 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 blah.
Well, Dallas, man, I appreciate you taking the time to come talk to me today. And we did go a little over what I told you, but obviously it was...
That was great talking to you too, yeah.
And we, you know, I definitely want to check back in with you in a little bit, you know, see how the progress has gone for you in general and where your art's taking you in whatever form that may be. But yeah, man, I appreciate you being flexible. I know it's taken a couple months to get you on here, but again, we appreciate it. And I'm sure the audience and your core audience definitely appreciates the update, man. So we wish you all the best, obviously, with your recovery that's ongoing for whoever knows how long, but hopefully, you know, we can get you back to, I don't know if you want to get back to where you were, but you know, get you back to function.
I have to be better than I was. And, I was going to say too, I've always appreciated, the lamb goat approach of not cookie cuttering and actually just, sometimes it hurts to hear people's real opinions, but you know what? I like hearing honesty, you know, and people that hate that, it's like, there's something, you know, I like pulling back the curtain, even if it's stuff that I don't agree with or something that I'm like, God, that wasn't that bad. Or that band's not that bad or whatever. Like, I like when people can just freedom of free speech and voicing their opinions Yes, it's been a pleasure to come on here. And
well, I'm glad that you weren't offended too much by that in the many years that you were a part of, you know, bands that were being posted about on Lamb Goat. And I'm glad
I used to start drama myself. No joke. I used to go on as an anonymous name and would talk crap on myself just to see what people would say. No joke. Like, or the band. Like, I don't know why I got a kick out of that, but I used to troll my own stuff.
Nice. So. Have you ever been, were you ever a part of the message board by chance? I mean, outside the anonymous comments.
I don't think, I had different ones, but I don't know if I, maybe I might have, before my accident, but I might have been.
It's cool that you are open for that, because there are bands currently and, you know, in the past that are not about that. And so we don't have a working relationship, so to speak, with them.
Well, so many bands too they only want yes men.
Yeah, right.
And I love that I don't have yes men. I have people that say that sucks, like even my close friends, and I love that because that makes you a better, even if it's anything, like you suck at that quality of your life, that makes you a better person. And if you're not doing a hate, but if you can learn to like give and take, you know, it's like it makes you, and it also makes your skin tough. I mean, like, right. Too many people where they're just too easily offended at anything. And that's a problem in our society right now, is it's just too many people are just afraid to hear anything that they don't like. And it's like, I like that kind of
I agree. Well, Dallas, I appreciate you again coming on, and, you know, I think you've dethroned John Jacobs as, you know, the toughest guy out there, because you've been to the bottom and you're kind of crawling back, and it takes a strong individual to do such. And, you know, I'm sure you have a lot of people in your corner and, you know, your extended corner throughout the scene that have kind of helped you along the way. And, yeah, man, we look forward to touching back with you in a couple of, you know, whenever.
Yeah, I'd love to, for sure. Yeah.
And then, Yeah, man. Just have a great day, and I'll see you soon.
Yeah, you too. And hopefully the spirit, that's one thing too, the barometric pressure, that's a fun thing on brain injuries. When the storm comes through,
oh wow,
it makes your brain in any kind of ailment. So hopefully none of that comes through recently here in this Florida weather. But it was great talking to you. And even if it does, it makes it more exciting. It
yeah, right.
It makes my day makes more entertaining.
Reminds you you're alive.
Yeah, it reminds me I'm hurting. I'm like, yeah, I'm still here.
Yeah, man.
That back still feels like shit.
Yeah, that'll happen.
It was great talking to you, man. And
you as well,
and
man.
I enjoyed being on, and hopefully to talk to you guys in the future.
Oh, for sure. Yeah, we'll touch base again. For sure, we'll get an update at one point.
Awesome, man.
Take it easy, Dallas.
Take it easy. It's good talking to you. All right.
Hey, this is Steve Choi, host of the Musicians Guild podcast, part of the Sound Talent Media podcast network. Within the four walls of the Musicians Guild, we'll be discussing the habits, idiosyncrasies, experiences, and general psychology of my friends and peers all involved with music in various capacities. Listen and subscribe at soundtalentmedia.com.